Today's shiur is Masechta Beya Daf Mem, as we are Be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach Masayim, Masechta Beya. We will begin on Daf Lamed Tes on the Beis at the bottom of the Amid at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah Mishaya Peirosa Bir Achas Echeres. Our Mishnah continues to discuss, as we have been learning over the last number of shiurim, the halachas of Tchumim. And the Mishnah teaches us Mishaya Peirosa Bir Achares. If somebody has his fruit in a different city, and the people of that city had made an Erev Tchumim, and by making an Erev Tchumim, they would be able to bring the Peiros in his direction. In other words, we're referring to a situation where he is more than 2,000 amos away from his Peiros. And as we've been learning in our shiurim, if you want to be able to walk more than 2,000 amma in any direction on Shabbos, you need to make an ruve tchumim to be able to help you get there. This person had not made the erev tchumim, so there's no way for him to be able to bring his peiros, his fruit, to where he is. But the people who live in that city had made an Erev Tchumim, and they can. So the question is, can they bring the Peiros to where he is now based on the Erev Tchumim that they made? Teaches us the Mishnah that they, even though they made an Erev Tchumim, we can't rely on their Erev Tchumim to bring his Peiros. They can't bring the Peiros because the halach of the Peiros that they have the same tchum as their owner. And as we just explained, he would not be able to bring his Peiros here. If he wouldn't be able to bring it, we can't have them bring the Peiros on his behalf. Vim Erev, but if he did make an Erev, then Peiros of Kimahu. So just like he would be able to bring the Peiros based on the Erev Tchumim, then the halacha is his Peiros would be able to come as well. Says the Mishnah further, Mi Shazimun Etzlei Archim, somebody invited guests to eat by him on Yontif. The halacha is, Lo Yilichu B'yad Manos, they may not bring leftover food. He has food that he has, that he wants to give them to take home. Elm Kane Zochlem is in the same Erev Yontif, that if the taking the food will involve them walking out of his tchum, and since the food is his, the food is limited to his tchum, so unless he had given them the food, he would be mezakeh them the food from Erev Yontif, it becomes theirs, and therefore it has their tchum. But if he didn't do that, then they would not be able to carry the Peiros because the Peiros are limited to his tchum. So the halacha is, that explains the Rishonim, that even if he knew that he's going to invite them from before Yontif, but he was not mezakeh them the food from before Yontif, the halacha is they can't take that food home. And Rashi points out that what do they want to take out? What do they want to take the food for? They want to take the food to be able. He wants to give them food. Rashi says that they should be able to eat that night. But we've learned many times, particularly in this Masechta, that there's a nis of achana. The one cannot prepare on Yontif for after Yontif. One, even in Chutz Laretz, can't prepare on the first day Yontif for the second day Yontif. So the question that comes up is, how could Rashi say that the issue of our Mishnah, as we've been learning, is an issue of Tchum? Were there no issue of Tchum, then they could be given the Peiros to carry. But still we have a new issue, and that is we're not allowed to carry for on the first day Yontif for tonight's dinner. The halacha, the Ramah says, he quotes the Maril, that one is not allowed to even arrange tables and chairs on Shmini Atzeres for Simchas Torah, even though arranging tables and chairs only involves tircha, it's not really a malacha. How could they carry the food home even if there is no problem of tchum? And because of that question, the Chasam Sofer says that our Mishnah is speaking about a case where he's going to eat, that the meal that these guests are going to eat with this food would be before night. And even though, as we're learning, one may not be prepare food on Yontif for next day Yontif, certainly for after Yontif, but says the Chasam Sofer, here the intention is to eat that food still on Yontif, and on that day Yontif. And since the intention is to eat it still on that day Yontif, so we don't have the issue of Achonim. The Simchas Yontif similarly says that the case of our Mishnah is referring to a case of Friday Shabbos, where he was giving them food on Friday for Shabbos. And as we learned also in this Masechta quite extensively, that even though, as we just said, one may not normally carry from one day Yontif for the next day Yontif, but if we have Yontif being on Friday and the next day being Shabbos, then if you made an Erev Tavshilin, you would be allowed to carry from one day to the next day. Says the Simchas Yontif, that's the case that Rashi is referring to, that the day of Yontif that he was giving them the food for was Friday, and then they would be allowed to carry, if not for the problem that our Mishnah identified, they would be allowed to carry the food for Shabbos based on Erev Tchumim. However, the Chaya Adam, because of the question that we now asked on Rashi, says that when the entire issue of discussion is just carrying something from one location to the other, that isn't in the category of tchachana. Even though I'm carrying something not for today, but for tomorrow, the aloch is, and normally, as we just explained, the aloch is very strict, that we can't prepare for one day for the next day. Says the Chaya Adam, if the issue is carrying, that isn't included in the category of achonam. However, even the Chaya Adam, who takes this very lenient approach, makes a number of conditions. Number one, it has to be carried only letzarech mitzvah. Like we're learning, that's being carried for Yontif Suda, just for carrying, even for eating, but carrying it for a weekday meal would not be mutter. Another point that the Chaya Adam makes is that it should not be obvious that it's being done for the second day of Yontif. So, going back to another concept that we discussed in our Masechta, it should be carried early in the day, where it's not obvious that it's being carried for tomorrow. Maybe I'm still interested in eating this today. And also, says the Chaya Adam, it should be carried with a shinui, not be carried in the regular way something is carried during the week, but it should be carried with a shinui. And when we have all of these conditions met, says the Chaya Adam, even though I'm carrying not just for today, I'm carrying for tomorrow, that wouldn't be included in the category of achana. Begins the Gemara, Itmar, Hamafka Peris Eitzach Averoi, if somebody leaves fruit with someone else, Rav Amar Karaglam Mishav Gidoloi. So now the question is, we've been learning in our Perek over and over again that the fruit, my food, as we just discussed, has my tchum. And the question is, if I leave food with you, whose tchum will it have? Will it have my tchum, as I am the owner of those peiris, or will it have the tchum of whom we left it by? Itmar, hamafke peiris etzach aver, if I left fruit by someone else, rav amar karaglam mishav gideloi, the food gets the tchum of the person whom I left it with, Shmuel Amar Karagli Amafket. It has the tchum of the person who owns the fruit. Suggest the Gemara. Lamer Rav Shmuel Dazal Tamayu. Rav and Shmuel are following a machloikus that they had elsewhere. The Tanan. The Mishnah Masechta Baba Kama Daf Mem Zayin Amun Aleph teaches us. Somebody who brought his food, his kalim, his animal into someone else's chotzer without permission. And something happened where the animal of the person who owns that chatzar did damage to the animal that was brought in, or the animal that was brought in without permission did damage to somebody, so to the animal that is belongs in the chatzar, it's the property of the owner of that chatzar. So says the Mishnah that he's chayiv if he did damage, and the Baal HaChatzar is potter if his property or his animal damaged mine because I had no right to bring it in. However, continues the Mishnah, im hechnes brishos, if I brought it in with permission, then the Baal HaChatzar is chayiv. If his property did damage to me, he will be chayiv. And my payment does damage, he'll be potter because I had permission. Rebbe Omer, loyal men chayiv, the Balabais is not chayiv. Achir kabel olav bayis lishma. The fact that he gave me permission, says Rebbe, to bring something in, doesn't mean that I have full fledged permission to do damage, and doesn't mean that he accepted upon himself that if something of his will damage mine, that he will be responsible. Vam Rav Huna Marav halach kedivri chachamim. Rav paskin like the chachamim. V'shmuel amalach Rebbe and Shmuel paskin like Rebbe. Suggest the Gemara. Leim Rav. So Rav, who said by tchumim, said the halacha is that the tchum goes with the person who's holding the peiros, because he holds like the chachamim that it's considered in something that's put into your permission, into your property, with your permission, is considered yours. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says that just because I have permission to bring something into your property doesn't mean that you have such a high level of responsibility is Rebbe. So the Gemara wants to say perhaps these two machloikesin travel together. Amluch Rav, to which Rav says, Anoda Amri Afila Rebbe. My opinion here can even follow the opinion of Rebbe. Because at Kan Lekam Rebbe Hassam, says Rebbe Rav, over there Rebbe said his position, the Stam Lo Kibbel on the Terosai. Just because you gave me permission to bring something into your property does not mean that that permission included that you're going to take responsibility that nothing will happen to what I brought in. Aval Hocha. But in our case that we're discussing, Hakibul on the Terosa, you took upon yourself that you should be a Nifkad. When you accept that you should be a person that's holding something on my behalf, what that includes is full responsibility. V'shmul Amma, and Shmuel on the other hand says, Anada Amri Afila Rabbanan. My opinion can follow even the Rabbanan. At Kalam Rabbanan Hasam, the Rabbanan over there said that he's responsible. A person is prepared that they should be able to put his animal in somebody else's chatzur. That if he'll do damage, I won't be responsible anymore. The person who owns the chatzur. That means if I have the permission, I'm anxious to use that permission because it absolves me from responsibility. Aval hocha. But when we're talking about the tchumim, minich leilinish, the leikah prusha, the prayer, b'shusha, the chavrei, am I prepared to give up my tchum just because I left my fruit by you? Just because I left my fruit by you does not mean that I'm prepared to give up my tchum. Ask the Gemara on Rav's opinion that according to Rav, when I leave Paris by you, they get your tchum. And we learned in our Mishnah, Tanah vim erifu, if I made an erif together with the people of the other city, peros of kamayu, then the halacha is that if my peros are in another city and that city the people made the erif and I didn't, they can't bring my peros. But if I did make an erif, they can. Ask the Gemara via Amrit if we're going to follow the opinion of Rav. Then when I leave Paris by someone else, they get the tchum of the person whom I left it by. So if ask the Gemara, if that's the case, even if I made an Erev, that shouldn't make any difference. The fact is that I left Now, the fact is, I left my peiros by someone else. And once I leave my peiros by someone else, they have his tchum. The Drushanim point out that Gemara could have asked the question not only from the second part of the Mishnah, but from the first part of the Mishnah. Because the first part of the Mishnah said that if I didn't make an Erev, that my peiros can't be transported. But according to Rav, that we follow by whom the peiros are, why couldn't it be moved? It should be able to be moved because the peiros should be followed, the person who they're left by. So the Rishonim answer, the reason the Gemara, and to make the question of the Rishonim a little stronger, is that usually when a question could be asked from the Reisha of the Mishnah, the Gemara immediately asks the question from the Reisha of the Mishnah, doesn't wait to ask the question from the Sefer of the Mishnah. So the answer, the Reisha could be speaking about a case where the people of the city indeed made an Erev. But the person by whom I left the Paris did not make an Erev. So even Rav would agree that we don't follow the people of the city, we follow the person by whom I left the Paris. Amar, so again, our question is, according to Rav, if I made an Erev, why should it help? The Paris aren't by me. The Paris are by the people of that city. And once the Paris are by the people of that city, the Erev should go with them. Answers the Gemara. Amar Afuna Amar Bei Rav, Kigon Sheikh Lekaren's office. That if when I left the Paris by you, it wasn't just left, it was left in a specific spot. By having it left by a specific spot, that means that the Nifkad, by whom I'm leaving the Paris, did not accept full that's the way Rashi explains. And the Reina Chananel and the Miri also. That means that the Nifkad did not take on full responsibility. And since he didn't take on full responsibility, then he's not considered a Nifkad. When does Rav say that the Peiros get the Tchum of the Nifkad? That's only when the Nifkad took on responsibility. But if he said, put it in that corner, leave it in my house, but I'm not taking on responsibility, then he's not going to, then it doesn't, even Rav would agree that it doesn't follow his Tchum. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch seem to learn, this is the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Haim Simon Shin Tzadik Zayin Sif Yud Zayin, that he doesn't have to take on responsibility. Even if he did take on responsibility, the fact that they were designated to be put in a specific spot in the Nifkat's home, not anywhere, shows that the Mafkid is still controlling the Paris as far as Hilchas Tchum is concerned. Toshma. So Gemara asks another question on the opinion of Rav from what we learned in our Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, Misha Zimun etz lo yorchim, if somebody invited guests, the halach is, lo yilichu biyad the manas, they have no right to carry the food, el kem zochel em the same erev yontif, unless the food that they're going to take home is food that they had ownership on from before yontif. But ask the Gemara, v'yamet karagli mishiv kiditzloi, that as soon as I give fruit to be kept by someone, it gets the tchum of that individual. So ask the Gemara, kizochel ma'idei acher, ma'hava. What's the difference that I gave them ownership? It doesn't make a difference that I gave them ownership. The fact that I have the payers still in my home should make that those payers are mine. Answers the Gemara, hachinami, that if I gave them ownership, so it says the Gemara, even if I didn't designate a place, but the fact that I went through the trouble of giving them ownership from before Yontif, that is like and we just learned that even Rav agrees that when we designate a space where they're going to have the Paris, that we follow the owner. So since I was mezakeh ownership to them from before Yontif, the halacha is, it's considered, under those circumstances, it's considered theirs, even according to Rav. V'bay seima, sokashani. So what's the difference between the two terutzim? According to the first teretz, the halacha is that zeichalem karen zavis, but I don't have any responsibility. The second case according to the second Teretz, I still have the responsibility. So it seems that the two terutzim that the Gemara just gave are directly related to the machlokes rishonim in the previous Teretz. The machlokes rishonim of Rashi and Rambam, that when you designate a space, do you also have to take responsibility? Do you have to give up responsibility that it should be considered still or not? That is going to be connected to the two terutzim that the Gemara just gave. Says the Gemara, Rav Chana bar Chanoi. Rav Chana bar Chanoi went to eat on Yontif a meal in somebody else, in a difference elsewhere, that a place that he could only arrive with Erev Techubim. And when he got to that city on Erev Yontif, he received meat from the butchers that he should be able to eat on Yontif. V'tala Basra b'ivad Dasha. And he went and he hung up the meat by his door. Osla kameid Rav Huna, and then Rav Bar Chanoi came to Rav Huna, and the question is, could he carry the meat on Yontif to his town? Amalei, Iatalis, if you were the one that hung up the meat, then still shkol, you could rely on your Erev Techumim and carry it back home. However, V'inu talu l'chol, if they hung it up, loy tishkol. And the Gemara tries to understand, why would that make a difference? Ask the Gemara, if he hung up the meat, how could he take the meat home anyway? Ask the Gemara of Rav Huna Talmud Rav Huna. Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav, and we just learned that I'm a Rav Krav Mishida. It's like that if I hang up the meat in someone's home, then it gets the tchum of that person. So yes, I bought the meat from Erev Yontif. Yes, Rav Huna bought the meat from Erev Yontif. And he brought it to wherever he was staying on Yontif. But it should make a difference. Once it was put up in the home of the person where he's leaving it, but it should get that person's tchum. Answers the Gemara, Shani Avdadasha. Since he hung up the meat, so it's like he is responsible, he has a special place for it, and even Rav just agreed that Kamishi Yichol Karen Zavastami, that when it's put in someone's home, but it is put in a specific spat, that then it has the tchum of the owner. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Hillel Rav Ashi, Ve'inu Talalei Lo Shakel, but the Mishnah said that if they hung up the meat, that he wouldn't be able to take it. But as the Gemara, we learned earlier in our perek, v'mishmul shor shel patam, a person who's in the business of working with animals, and what he does with these animals, he then sells them, and he knows that in Yontif people are coming to buy these animals. The halach is that the tchum of those animals are a karagli kol adam, because I knew that in Yontif, I, who am this business, I know that customers are going to be coming to Yontif, coming to buy meat from me on Yontif, and that I have in mind, it should have the tchum of those people. Another question. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, V'inu Talilei Leishako, if they hung it up, then he couldn't take it. But we also learned early in our parak on Daflam Zayin, Amid Beis, V'amar Rabbi B'chanam Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Reb Doisa, the Halach is like Reb Doisa, if I give an animal to a roya before on Yontif, the animal gets the tchum of the roya. And as we explained in the Gemara, we're speaking about a city that has only one roya. So since it only has one roya, I know for sure, we know for sure, that you're going to be giving your animal to that roya. And since you had a mind to give it to that roya, so then the owners understood and knew that the behema will get the tchum of that roya. So certainly, where Rav Chana bar Chanoi took ownership of the meat, it should have his tchum. A third question. We learned that if they hung it up, he can't take it. But as the Gemara Vatanan, we learned that a Mishnah earlier in our parakut, Avlam Zainam and Aleph, that a behem of a kalim, karagli abalim, that we always follow the owner of the tchum of the owner. Elo, says the Gemara, this different reason. Shani Rav Chana Bechanoi, the Gavar Rabahu, he was an important person. big Talmud Chochem, v'tar b'shmatze, and he was always busy learning. So now, the issue wasn't an issue of Tchumim. The issue is an issue that is discussed in Masechta Chulin, Daf Tzadikei Amin Aleph. The Gemara teaches us that Bosesh and Alam and Ayim, meat that's not under Hashgacha, meat that's not under control, with proper simonim, becomes also to be eaten. For we need to be concerned that maybe that meat got mixed up with the Vela meat. So if I have a simon in the meat, or I have a tfias ayin in the meat, there's no concern. However, Rav Chana Bar Chanoi, who was preoccupied with his learning, Rav Huna was concerned that he was so busy learning, he didn't think about the meat. And he didn't have a simon in the meat. And that's why the concern is an entirely new concern. The concern here is a concern of Basa Shinas Alam Menayin. Vach Kamalei, Iatalis, if you hung it up, so Islach Simen Begavei, so you know how, where it was hung, and therefore that's a valid simen to prevent the problem of Basa Shinas Alam Menayin, Vlaim Sach Dat Menei, and therefore Zil Shkol, you could take that meat. However, if they hung it up for you, and you never really paid attention to the simonim of the meat, or masach datach, and therefore it was hesach adas, and you didn't pay attention to the meat, then the halach is, loitishkol, you may not take the meat. So this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that the issue here is not an issue of tchumim, the issue here is an issue of bosh tzalam and ayin. But then Rashi says a different pshat, that the issue here is an issue of muksa. And Rav Huna was telling Rav Chana Bar Chanoi, if you hung up the meat yourself, so that means that you weren't Messiah Das from the meat. And since you weren't Messiah Das from the meat, that's why it's not Muksa. However, he told him that if they hung up the meat and you weren't thinking about the meat before Yontif, and you wouldn't have any intention from before Yontif to use that meat, so now there's a new concern. And the concern is that the meat is muksa, because you were mesiach das from the meat. And as we're learning so many times in Amasechta, that if somebody's mesiach das from something, it becomes muksa. Says the Mishnah, the last Mishnah in Amasechta. Says the Mishnah, a mashkin v'shechten asemet barius, one may not give water to drink or shecht animals that are in the midbar, because... And the Gemara is going to identify what makes an animal a midbarius, because then, as we just learned, you're masich das from it. You're not paying attention to that animal, and because you're not paying attention to that animal, you're going to be it's muksa. Abamashk mishaychden as a bisis. Animals that are in your shus, you are allowed to. That bisis, you are allowed to give it to drink. Gemara will explain why we do that as well, and we could ultimately shecht them. Says the Mishnah, Eilem Baisis Alonis Be'ir, if they come home every night to the city, then they're considered Baisois. Midbarius, what are the definition of Midbarius? Are animals Halonis Be'ifer. Ask the Gemara, Lomeli Lameim Mashkin V'Shechtim. The issue here is not the Mashkin. The issue is not that we're giving the animal to drink. The issue here is Shechita permitted because it's not Muksa, or shechita prohibited because of muksa. What's the Mishnah focusing on the mashkin? Answers the Gemara. Milsag avorcha kamashman. The Mishnah is coming to teach us another halacha, and that is the lishke inish behemtei, that first a person should give its animal to drink water before it shechts b'shem sircha de mishka. So there's two pshatim at sircha de mishka. One pshat is that we know that Rashi explains that when we give the animal water to drink before we shecht it, we give it easier to skin, to take the skin off the animal. Another pshat that the Rishonim say is that we know that after we shecht an animal, we check its lungs for any sirchus. Sirchus means if there are any lesions on the lungs. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that if there's sirchus on the animal, many times that animal is identified as a treifa. But by giving the animal to drink water before you shecht it, the sirchus come off. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch in Yoridei is Simen Lamates Sif Yud Beis Paskins Toiv LaHashkes Abehema Samach LaShchita. It's advisable to give an animal to drink water before you shecht it. And the Shach there in Sifkat Lamed Beis says, because the experts who know about animals, veterinarians, say it's easier, that it's going to prevent sirchus from the lung, prevent questions of treifus. What's interesting to point out is that the Rambam quotes both pshatim. In Masechta Tamid, he writes, the reason you should do it is to take off the, be able to get the skin off the meat. In our Gemara, the Rambam explains that the concern is the sirchus. So I saw that Rav Zeilig Reuven Ben Gesetzal, the Rav of Yerushalayim, says that both pshatim are correct. So our Gemara, our Mishnah, says Rav Ben Gesetzal, is referring to an animal which is behemoth chulin. Since it's a behemoth that's chulin that we're going to eat, so when we have an animal that we're going to eat, we need to be concerned for sirchus, because otherwise, as we just said, the animal might be identified as a treifa, which we may not eat. In Masechta Tamid, the Rambam is focused on kachim. Kachim, we're more concerned that the animal should be easily skinned. The level of treifas is a much easier level category by kachim than it is by chulin. And therefore, the Rambam over there says the concern is that you should be able to skin the animal. But then there's another discussion that we need to have. So now we've identified why before Shechita we should give the animal to drink. The question is, are we allowed to feed animal on Yontif? We've learned that animals under certain circumstances are muksa. So the Paiskim all suggest that animals that are mezonosim alecha, animals that we are responsible for, are animals that we're allowed to feed on Yontif. But of course the question then is, then that halacha only applies to animals for whom mezonosim alecha, we're obligated to feed. If these are animals that we're not obligated to feed, then it's a mezonosim alecha, and we're not allowed to feed them on Shabbos and Yontif. So the Mishnah Berurah, because of that halacha, and Simon Shin Chaf Dalid, Sif Katan Lamed Aleph, says that many people have the minig, obviously in a place where there's no issue of carrying, where there's an Erev, that on Shabbos Shira, they put out food for the birds. Says the Mishnah Berurah, we just learned that if aim is an oisa malecha, if we're not responsible to feed those birds, those animals, we're not allowed to feed them. So how could one put out bird food on Shabbos Shira? And that's why, according to Mishnah Berurah, even though this is a famous minig, Mishnah Berurah says if you want to do it, put out the food for the birds from before Shabbos. Don't do it on Shabbos Shira. Darach HaShulchan in Sif Gimel, in Simen Shin Chaf Dalet, says we're not doing it on behalf of the birds. We're doing it on our behalf, because the Medrash says that why do we give the birds food on Shabbos Shira? Because the Medrash says that even the birds sang along when we said the Shira. So when we're giving them the birds, we're not doing it for them. We're doing it for us. So if doing it for us, then it's fine. He also says that, and so does the Das Torah from the Marsham, and the Mukhi Erechaim says this as well, that if it's being done l'shem mitzvah, then even if it's not mezonosim alecha, you could feed animals and birds on Shabbos and Yontif. And in fact, the Aruch HaShulchan says that even though we're learning in our Gemara that one is not allowed to feed an animal or a bird on Yontif, Shabbos Yontif, says the Aruch HaShulchan that if one sees an animal or bird that's particularly hungry on Shabbos Yontif, even though it's not your animal or bird, you're allowed to feed it. Why? Because the pasuk says, "V'rachamov akol masav." A person, just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, has rachmanis on everybody. We're supposed to have rachmanis. So included in having rachmanis is to think about this poor bird, this poor animal that's so desperate for food. So when we're feeding them, again, we're not necessarily feeding them because they need the food. We're feeding them because we're doing the right thing by feeding that animal or bird. So we're doing it on our behalf, for our mitzvah. And therefore, even though it's not mezayin ha'isim alachem, they may be fed. It says the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan, Eilem midbarius ve'eilem basis. Which animals are considered midbarius and which animals are considered basis? Says the Gemara, midbarius, kosher yotze b'pesach, animals that go out Pesach time v'royis be'efer, and they go to pasture outside the city, and when the Revi Rishona in Cheshvin, when it starts to rain, they come back. That's called Midbarius. Veil and Bises, Kosh Yoitzis Rois Chutz L'Tchum, that every day they go out of the Tchum to pasture, but Bois V'Lonis B'Toich Tchum, they come back at night to the Tchum. Rebbe Weimer, the Rebbe has a more lenient approach. He says both of the types of animals that we just described, Eilu v'Eilu Baisesein, are in the category of Baises. Eilu hen Midbarius. So according to Rebbe, what is in the category of Midbarius? Kosh yotzes v'rois be'efer. They go out for pasture. Ve'en nechnosos liyishuv, and they never come in to a place where people live. Lo'i b'maisach chamav, lo'i b'maisach shamav, not in the summer or in the winter. But ask the Gemara, by Rebbe needing to identify which are Bises and which are Midbarius, so as we've been learning, the reason for that identification is to know which animals are Muksa and which are not. Ask the Gemara, Miesle le Rebbe Muksa, does Rebbe subscribe to the concept of Muksa? But ask the Gemara, V'abominei Reb Shimon by Rebbe mi Rebbe, Patsile Tumara. These are a type of dates that don't get ripe when they're on the tree, and they're taken off the tree and they're put into such choiceless, into such berries, wicker baskets, and in those wicker baskets, that's where they get ripe. Rav Shimon Mahu, Rav Shimon and Al Masechta, who, as we've been learning so many times, has a much more lenient approach to Hilchas Muksa. And question is, Rav Shimon only holds that groigers at smukim, foods that are put away for drying, are muksa. Is this in the same category or not? That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Here we're talking about fruit that's not ripe yet, but they're put into the wicker basket, and in that wicker basket, they're going to become ripe. And the question is, are they like groigers or are they muksa or not? That those that suggest that there's a difference between Petzili Tumara and Groigers Tzmukim. Because Groigers Tzmukim, figs and dates, we started, figs and raisins, we started with something that was edible. Then when you take them up to dry in the sun, they become inedible, and then they become edible. So there was a time that I made them inedible. So since I made them inedible, that's why Rav Shimon maybe agrees it's muksa. But here where they were never edible and made inedible, maybe Rav Shimon will agree it's not muksa. Amalei, to which Rebbe said to Rav Shimon, hey muksa Rav Shimon, the only muksa is ela groigers utzmukim vavad. Only when they're exactly like we just explained, like groigers utzmukim, where they were edible, and then I made them inedible, are they muksa. Any other situation is not muksa according to Reb Shimon. So what do we see? So we see that he follows the opinion of Shimon. So if Rebbe follows the opinion of Reb Shimon, so then why would these animals, even if they're midbarius, even if they go away, whatever explanation we give for midbarius, they shouldn't be muksa, because muksa is only with dachy b'yadayim. I wasn't dachy b'yadayim. I didn't take these animals and make them muksa. Answers the Gemara. Ani ibayisei mahani nami. According to Rebbe, the animals that are sent away, since they were sent away, it's considered dachy b'yadayim, and therefore kagroigs for tzmukim domi. And therefore, even Rebbe, who will hold like Reb Shimon and have the lenient approach to muksa, will agree that these are muksa. Ibai Seima, another way of understanding what Rebbe was saying was the Dvar of Reb Shimon Kamer. Rebbe was explaining what Reb Shimon's opinion would be. However, V'loy Lay Sfirlay, he doesn't agree with Reb Shimon, but he has a more stricter interpretation of Hilchas Muksa. V'ibay Seima, the Rein Rabbanah Kamalel. He was speaking to Rabbanim. Lindidi, he's saying, a Muksa. I follow Reb Shimon's approach, and I have a lenient approach to Muksa, and therefore animals that I didn't expressly make them inedible, like the Greigs or Tzmukim, are not muksa. However, he said, Ela d'chu, who are stricter in Hilchas Muksa, oidli miyois, that heichad yoitz v'royitz v'peisach, v'nechnosos b'rvi rishoinos, that if they go out Pesach time, but they're going to come back in Cheshvin, they should still be in the category of bises. And by animals that are bises, you have agreed that they are not muksa. V'amrle Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan respond to him, loy, those animals are midbariusain, and since they're midbarius, with our position on muksa, they're going to be muksa and not be allowed to be eaten, taken and shechted and eaten on Yontif. Hanerloch, Meshilim Peris, Veslika, Mesechta Beah.